From the Land Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It is the 7th day of November 2012. I'm Todd Gleason. In a few moments, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Jackie Vakes at Stuart Peterson from right here in Champaign County. And a bit later in the half hour, we'll discuss the cash grain market with the folks at the Anderson's Climbers facility in Logansport, Indiana. Dave Dickey has filed a report from the National Association of Farm Broadcasting in Kansas City. We'll hear about foreign-born labor in agriculture from him. And then, as we close out our program today, we'll talk with Drew Lerner at World Weather Incorporated out of Kansas City, and it all happens right here on this Wednesday edition of the Closing Market Report. It is a production of Illinois Public Media from the University of Illinois.
Support for agricultural programs comes from AgriGold Hybrids, featuring the AgriGold Giants, a group of five new hybrids designed to meet the performance standards of yield, health, and consistency required by Midwestern corn growers. More information is at AgriGoldGiants.com or at 800-262-7333.
Well, let's check the numbers as they settled up in Chicago on a Wednesday afternoon. Futures in the soft red winter wheat pit for the day, up 3.5 cents in the nearby December, up 16.5 cents in the nearby December at $8.93.5. The March contract at $9.07.25 for the soft red, up 16.75 cents in July at $8.88.75. That's your harvest month, up 9.25. The harvest month in Kansas City finished the hard red at $9.35, up 10.5 cents. December corn futures back in Chicago, $7.44.5. That's $7.44.5, up 3.5. The March at $7.45.5, up 2.5. And the May futures at $7.41.75 in the corn pit, up 2. July, $7.32.75, a penny and 3 cents higher. September at $6.60.25, up 2.25. And next year's December at $6.42.25, up a nickel. November beans on the day at $15.95. A loss today, down 7.25. January at $15.05, down 10.5. The March beans at $14.84 and a half cent, down 6.5. And the May contract at $14.60.75, down 4.5. July futures, $14.45.25, down 4.75. November beans at $13.45.25. A gain there, up 0.75 cents. Bean meal futures down $3.20. Bean oil, 2 cents lower on the day. Live cattle futures finished the February contract at $128.85, down 52.5 cents. The January feeder cattle at $145.50 per down $1.22.5 for 100 pounds. And lean hogs on the day finished the February contract at $85.95. That's $2.52.5 higher. You're listening to the Closing Market Report. It is a production of Illinois Public Media and comes to you from the University of Illinois. Here's what the outside markets look like. At this hour, December crude oil futures, $84.67 a barrel, down $4 and a nickel. December gasoline at $2.59.5. That's on the wholesale RBOB price, down 10.3 cents. And December ethanol at $2.34.6, up 0.1 cent. The difference between those two is about 24.9 cents, and that is 10.4 cents narrower than it was yesterday. Natural gas at $3.57.3, up rather down 4.4 cents. And heating oil or diesel fuel 8.6 cents lower at $2.96.6. The gold futures on the afternoon at $1,714 finished a dollar lower, and the U.S. dollar at 80.76 is up 0.15 for the day. The weather forecast for the Urbana-Champaign area this afternoon tells us that we'll have mostly cloudy skies and a high of 47 degrees on a northwest wind at 7 to 9 miles an hour, and then tomorrow, partly some patchy fog, rather, after midnight. And as we make our way into the 8 a.m. area, that will stick around. Otherwise, it'll be sunny with a high of 53 degrees. And tomorrow night, mostly clear and a low of 36 on a south wind at about 8 miles an hour. Friday, mostly sunny and a high near 60 with a south wind at 10 to 18, gusting to 24. And mostly cloudy on Friday evening with a 46-degree low. Saturday, sunny and 64, cloudy on Saturday evening and 51, and on Veterans Day, mostly cloudy for Sunday with a high of 64 degrees. On Sunday evening, showers are likely, cloudy, a low 42. Monday, a chance of showers, mostly cloudy and 44, and Monday night, partly cloudy and 27. Tuesday, sunny skies and 41. A more complete look at the weather forecast comes up at the bottom of the half hour. We'll talk with Drew Lerner at World Weather Incorporated in Kansas City.
Agricultural programs are made possible by Auditory Care Center, an independent hearing care center serving Champaign, Piatt, Ford, Vermilion, and other East Central Illinois counties. Auditory Care Center offers hearing evaluations as well as selection, fitting, and repair of hearing aids at 892-5959 in Rantoul.
It is the seventh day of November 2012. I'm Todd Gleason. You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. On the phone line with us is Jackie Vakes of Stewart Peterson. She's in Champaign County. Good afternoon to you, Jackie.
Well, good afternoon, Todd.
Let's talk about the marketplace in general. And there are lots of things to take a look at. What's top of mind for you today?
Well, of course, the impact that the election may or may not have. We do have it behind us now. I think we have some happy people on the ethanol side, you know, your producers and perhaps your U.S. public, because ethanol has managed to hold down gas prices, and some very unhappy people. I think your livestock producers are not happy, and it's primarily because they know that now that we're going to have another 4 years, Mr. Obama, it's not likely that we're going to see anything adjusted or any changes come about in the ethanol complex. So I think that's a very important thing. When you look at the impact, you know, it really didn't see. I thought it was very interesting. We haven't talked about the euro for ages. Today the headlines are about the euro, and all you saw all day long today was about the euro crisis and the things that were happening over there. So it's amazing how, you know, how the news media is a lot like kids that should be on Ritalin, because they can only focus on one thing at a time, it seems like. And boy, oh boy, the minute that this election was behind us, we were back to everything else, the fiscal cliff, you name it. And from our perspective, when you look at the commodities, you know, we've got the dollar higher. That is sometimes negative to us, although we're still in a very attractive range as far as export numbers go, you know, and the ability for other countries to buy our products. But in general, I would say that the commodity market itself did not seem to be impacted very much at all.
Turn your attention to the Friday USDA reports. Historically, how do those reports pan out for the month of November?
Well, you know, in the corn side of things, what we've seen 10 out of the last 13 years is that the yield has actually dropped by 1.8 bushels from the October report. Expectations for the report on Friday are definitely that we are going to be down. If it would go down the full 1.8, that would take us to 120.2. We were at 122 in October. 10.6 is what the average is as far as the general consensus from analysts as to what the production level is going to be. So we'll see if it's as much as 1.8, but I do expect that there's going to be somewhat of a drop. When you look at the bean complex, 16 out of the last 18 years, we actually gained a half a bushel on the November compared to the October, which makes sense because, you know, on the October we are still, you know, we're not as far into harvest as what we are on the corn side of things. But if we do that would take us to 38.3. I really don't see that as a huge issue because I do believe that the majority of any increase that we see on the bean side is going to be eaten up by exports. And one of the big news articles today that came out from Sinograin out of China was that they expect to see bean imports increase 5 to 6% annually over the next 5 years. And that is, you know, that's a big number. That's not a little number when you look at how much they take. So I believe even though we've had some pretty rough road going on here on the beans, it's in the long run we'll see a higher market than what we do right now.
What did you make? You said rough road. Of course, we were down 8 cents today. Did that surprise you?
No. No. I mean, to me, 8 cents is like hardly moving at all.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, when you look at the trading ranges here, you know, so this hasn't been much. We've been in a trading range here ever since the 10th of October for almost a month already, and the bottom end of that range, you know, has been down in the down in that 15 area. It was concerning when we broke to 14.97 and a quarter today on November beans, on January beans, and you know that was concerning. But we've been lower than that. I mean, we needed to hold that 14.84, and as soon as we got below $15, boy, we just seemed to pick up some buying like crazy. And when you look at the overall picture for today, it looks as if the funds were pretty aggressive buyers generally all over the board. So they're going to look for places to replace income from the Dow Jones, perhaps. You know, we are one of the best places for them to come to be able to offset and to be able to shore up the profits that need to come out of the Dow. And we saw a very negative reaction on the Dow. It's down, it's down 280 right now, and actually got pretty close to the 50% retracement from the low that we put in back on the 4th of June to the high that we had on the 14th of September. So you'd have to say Wall Street didn't react very well to the election. The German Dow, also down about 2% today, is not reacting very well, and that's because there are quite a few articles out there, Wall Street Journal and a number of other places, talking about how the Eurozone crisis is really beginning to affect the German economy. And we know that the Germans are that's the strongest economy that they have over there.
Are you personally worried about the next 6 months and the global economy?
I'm not as worried as I was perhaps maybe a year ago, but at the very same time, it just depends upon we have a lot of things going on here. We're coming off one of the worst droughts we've had. We have high input costs. We have high, and that goes for both sides. That's high for the people who are raising cattle. That's high for anybody who's buying those products. It's also high for the retail end of things when you look in the grocery store and places like that. And so I guess what concerns me more, Todd, is probably our ability to be able to continue to stay in a path where we're actually seeing improvement in the U.S. economy. You know, what happens in the world definitely has an impact on us.
And the fiscal cliff is the next big hurdle then.
Well, that's what everybody's talking about. We knew that was sitting there in the background, and now we will find out if we really do have any more partisanship than what we had before. It'll be very disappointing, I think, to the American people if we just revert back to what was going on in the past. But, there's a couple things that I think, from a financial standpoint, we need to be talking about, too, with our producers. And, we have a lot of guys who are making decisions right now as to whether they're going to leave corn in storage and use DP or not. But I've had quite a few conversations with people here and south of here and in the other, adjoining states, and just warning them and saying, please make sure that you are working with someone who is very solid financially. We do have elevators in this countryside that did not test for aflatoxins, just bought the corn. They needed the corn, and now we're starting to hear that it's being turned down when they want to deliver it places, and from a financial standpoint, I think that could really be a disaster. So, it's wonderful to have the prices that we've had, but make sure that you're the one that gets the money. And that has to always be a concern. The other thing I wanted to talk about was December 2013, November 2013, Todd.
New crop sales?
You bet.
Mm-hmm.
When you look at the bean ratio, the bean-to-corn ratio, we're sitting at 2.1. Relatively low, so you would expect to see the bean prices perhaps take a bit of a jump. But I was doing some probabilities today, and I looked at over the next 120 days on D13 corn, we could trade a range of 550 down to or up to 725. And on beans, it could be $12 up to $15. I think that says to me as a risk manager, there's a reason that you need to get yourself positioned. Now, does that mean you should do a lot of cash sales? If you're comfortable and you've had decent rains, I think, go ahead and get some cash sales on the books. If you're not comfortable with that, we've been doing a lot of option positions. I also did a projection on the overall, and when you looked at these 13 corn, you could go down to $5, you could go up to $8. On beans, it could be down to $11 or up to $16.50. So those are ranges that can be very profitable and not so profitable. From a risk management standpoint, you really need to be running the numbers on this. I'm not telling anybody to go out and make sales if they have not already gotten their inputs bought, because that's something that's extremely important. And tagging on to the inputs, Todd, you got to look at what oil did today. We saw stocks on oil come in higher than what they expected them to be. Gasoline stocks were higher than they expected them to be. And the London crude spread is back to 22 again. And so, we're in a situation right here where we don't know what's going on exactly, because they're certainly producing more at this time of year than what we would be expecting them to do normally.
Thanks so much today.
You're welcome. Bye-bye.
That's Jackie Vake. She's with Stuart Peterson, and you're listening to the Closing Market Report.
Leonard Seed Service supports agricultural programs as an additional service to its customers. Leonard Seed Service is an independent dealer providing DeKalb and Asgro seed products to farmers throughout East Central Illinois via the Asgro on-demand bulk soybean handling system. Leonard Seed Service, 217-497-2270.
You know, in the United States, there are about 2 million immigrants. They work in agriculture. Many of those, of course, are unauthorized, and they pose a unique challenge for the comprehensive immigration reform. Dave Dickey is in the National Association of Farm Broadcasting Convention in Kansas City. He discussed that issue with a representative of the AFL-CIO. His name is Baltimore Velasquez.
What are the changing trends regarding immigration farm workers?
Well, we've seen a plethora of anti-immigrant legislation in the southern states of our country, Alabama, Georgia, South Carolina, Arizona, and this has made an impact, a desperation of a workforce, leaving the states that make them feel unwelcome and staying in states like Florida, migrating to states that still welcome them. So it's going to be important that we address the needs of these workers. If we could put the challenge before our Congress, before our legislators, and the agricultural industry that can solve a lot of these problems without the help of Congress. When it comes to the rights of human beings to be able to talk about the issues that are important to them in the workplace, labor rights are a big issue that the industry could extend to these workers regardless of what Congress does.
So what aspects, then, would you like to see in a guest worker program?
A guest worker program is going to require protection of labor rights if you want this to work on both sides. There's going to be a need for a guest worker program in this country, regardless of what my immigrant advocates friends say. The 11, 12 million people without papers in this country are not going to fill the void of agriculture, labor force. People who live in this country the year round, 12 months out of the year, need to work 12 months out of the year. They're not going to make a living with short-term jobs. So that opens the question as to who's going to fill that void of those short-term jobs. It's going to have to be temporary workers. And like the workers that I represent in North Carolina, I represent 7,000 guest workers with the North Carolina Growers Association. And these workers don't want to come and immigrate to the United States. They want to come here, make some money, and go back home to their families in Mexico to build a family and build a home in their home states in Mexico.
So a visa program then also has to become a viable piece of this.
Yes, there has to be immigration reform to legalize the status of those who are here without papers. And then we have to have a guest worker program that includes the central point of our concern is the labor rights. They have the freedom of association, right to form unions and bargain collectively, because we think that when workers and employers can negotiate conditions that they meet the needs of both of their parts, I think that it would be preferable to have a guest worker program that is onerous and one-sided, where the employer has all the power over the worker and open the door to exploitation.
A lot of what you're saying can be done without governmental involvement. What role should Congress have then in all of this?
Well, the manufacturers and retailers who buy the products from the farmers have the ability to guarantee sustainability of the small family farmers and the workers and the wages and prices that are paid, because it all depends on the prices they pay for the commodity from that grower, from that farmer. And so there has to be some kind of recognition in the supply chain of all of the parties that that create the product, from the time it's planted to the time it's sold on the grocery store shelf. All of the parties need to get around one table and negotiate something that works for all of them. And I think that this has the industry, agricultural industry, can address a lot of these issues itself and doesn't need Congress to tell them what to do and what not to do. What Congress can do is make it possible for the presence of these workers in a legal status that doesn't infringe on their right to bargain collectively and have freedom of association.
Should the H-2A program be tweaked? Should it be heavily modified? Or should it be relegated to the scrap heap, and why?
Well, I think that it has some protective measures that are important at this point. But it needs to, if I would have my way, I would put in there that the employers and the manufacturers who depend on those employers extend freedom of association and collective bargaining rights to those workers in order to create the necessary tensions so that people have to recognize each other's needs and negotiate how it can work for all of them together. And if I had my way, that would be on the top of my wish list.
Well, that's Baltimore Velasquez of the AFL-CIO, the Farm Labor Organization Committee. He spoke with Illinois Public Media Agriculture Director Dave Dickey.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Farm Credit Services of Illinois. For over 96 years, generations of farmers have turned to Farm Credit for their financial needs. Whether a young farmer or a seasoned grower, Farm Credit offers products and service geared specifically to the agricultural community.
This is the closing market report. It is a Wednesday afternoon. Let's check the cash grain market. Tara Oliver of the Anderson's Climbers facility in Logansport, Indiana, is on the phone line. Good afternoon to you, Tara.
Good afternoon. How are you?
Quieter? Well, I'm very good. Is it quiet or busy there?
Oh, a little bit of both. We're finally wrapping up with harvest over here. You know, we're down to probably the last 10%. So, I mean, it brings a little bit of both. Guys that are done are, you know, just trying to hit the paperwork and get things cleaned up. But there's also some grain that's moving here at the tail end of harvest.
How did the soybean harvest go, and what kinds of yields did you maintain in the area?
Really, the soybean harvest in comparison to the corn harvest was great. A lot of our later beans over in this area, you know, caught some pretty good yields, and we were pretty fortunate. So I think as a whole, in our area, we probably saw a little bit better yields than we expected on the beans. Early on, we did run into some issues with poor yields, and especially some of the high-damage beans. You know, we had a lot over in this area that was hit by hail as well. But as we kind of progressed and got into the later stuff, it turned out to be pretty good.
Storage filled up nicely then, and availability should be pretty good for end users?
I think so. I mean, you know, the storage topic has been interesting this year, you know, with better bean yields, poor corn yields, and even some of the quality issues on corn, just trying to figure out how much is out there in the bins and what is actually out there. You kind of see a mix of both. You know, some people just don't want to take the risk and move it all at fall, and others, you know, want to gamble with what they've got because there's, you know, a lot less of it this year.
There's been a lot of concern that ethanol plants aren't able to operate at high margins at this point. How's your plant doing?
Certainly not at high margins is definitely right. I mean, there is a little bit of margin left in ethanol still. Today we are still seeing positive margins, and, you know, we're looking to be aggressive and fill up as much as we can. But, you know, it's definitely a different year this year than it has been in the past couple years because margins are much more thin, and, you know, you really have to leverage every little bit that you can as far as your yields. And, you know, some of these plants that do additional things such as corn oil extraction, all of that adds to your bottom line.
And your bids for the day are?
Cash price tonight at Delphi is $7.63, Climbers $7.74, and beans at Delphi are $14.87.
Thank you so much, Tara.
Thank you.
Tara Oliver is with the Anderson's Climbers facility, joins us here on the Closing Market Report on this Wednesday afternoon. Back in 2 minutes with the Ag Weather and Drew Lerner.
Agricultural programs are made possible by Risk Management Commodities Incorporated in Lafayette, Indiana, Chalmers, Indiana, and Hudsonville, Illinois. Risk Management Commodities focuses on managing risk in today's complex and sophisticated commodities market. 866-837-9027.
It's National Bittersweet Chocolate with Almonds Day. The cultivation of seeds that produce chocolate date back at least 3 millennia to Central America and Mexico. The earliest documented use was around 1100 BC, with the Maya and Aztecs making bitter chocolate beverages. On this day in agricultural history in 1807, Tom Brassey was born. An early English railway contractor, he built railway lines worldwide. He laid tracks in England, France, the Netherlands, Italy, Prussia, Spain, Canada, India, Australia, and South America. In all, he built more than 6,500 miles of track. In 1872, the Mary Celeste sailed for Genoa from New York with a cargo of 1,700 barrels of alcoholic spirits. The ship was found abandoned near the Azores, the captain, his wife and daughter, and seven crewmen missing, and no sign of violence. The captain, his family, and the crew were never seen again. In 1923, Michael Joseph Owens died. He is credited with the invention of the automatic glass bottle-making machine. And in 1928, Norton David Zinder was born. An American biologist and molecular geneticist, he studied a species of salmonella and discovered how genetic material is transferred from one bacterial cell to another by the means of a virus. And that's this day in agricultural history.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report. It is a Wednesday afternoon. Drew Lerner from World Weather Incorporated in Kansas City is on the phone line. Drew, thanks for taking the time with us. Let's talk about South America to begin with. Argentina and Brazil, how have they progressed through the beginning of the growing season?
Well, Argentina is a little bit behind in its planting process because of too much rain. You know, they had 3 months in a row of well above average precipitation, and that really hurt them a lot, especially in the last few weeks. Now, the weather pattern in Argentina is changing right now, and we'll likely see a little bit more favorable environment here where we'll probably end up with a good mix of rain and sunshine over the next week to 10 days and probably see a lot of healing take place in the areas that are still dealing with excess moisture. But we do have a storm system coming up here probably for, Thursday night into Saturday. That's likely to set them back a little bit, and they'll have to have another several-day period to dry down before they can get back aggressive in the fields. But they will get there. In Brazil, situation has certainly flip-flopped in the past couple of weeks, where the south had been too wet, now it's drying down. The north had been too dry, and it's getting wetter. So it's a pretty good scenario for most of the country there. Planting is not that far off from average, but it is below where it was last year at this time in Brazil, and good progress is expected to continue around the precipitation.
You know, let's talk a bit more about wheat across the planet. I know you discussed a bit about Argentina, but maybe you can bring us up to speed on how their wheat crop is coming into harvest, and then turn your attention to Australia as well. And I bring this up simply because it appears that Russia and Ukraine are still awfully short of their crop.
That's right. In the case of Argentina, the crop has suffered some decline in production potential because of the wet weather problem. There's some disease there now that's hurt the yield, and we've got a little ways to go before some of the crop, the main crop actually in the south, won't be harvested until December and January. So it's prime time for those southern areas, and I think they'll do okay, though, from this point onward, with the exception of the fact they do have some of that disease to deal with. In Australia, they lost 27% of their crop this year because of dryness and because of frost damage, and the majority of their crop is now being harvested. And weather conditions are okay for that. We do have a little bit of excess moisture occurring right now and lasting for the next 2 days in eastern parts of the country. They'll delay some of the field work, but there should not be a quality problem there. In the case of Ukraine and parts of Russia, you're absolutely correct. There are still ongoing problems there, less in Ukraine as much as it is in the south-central parts of Russia. There are some areas there in Russia that have still gone without rain for almost 3 months now, and it's the same area that's been hurt by dryness for 3 years. So it's a serious situation, and they are not going to get any better over these next few weeks, unfortunately. So they'll have to wait till spring and see if they've got some moisture then.
And just a few seconds left to cap all of this discussion off. The Dakotas still not looking particularly good.
No, but they do have a major winter storm coming up here for the next 2 or 3 days, and they'll lay down a lot of snow that will at least protect the poorly established crop.
Thank you so much.
Have a good day.
You too. Drew Lerner is with World Weather Incorporated in Kansas City. Joins us here on the Closing Market Report on this Wednesday afternoon. That wraps it up. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason.
Support for agricultural programs comes from AgriGold Hybrids, featuring the AgriGold Giants, a group of five new hybrids designed to meet the performance standards of yield, health, and consistency required by Midwestern corn growers. More information is at AgriGoldGiants.com or at 800-262-7333.